Blog Talk Radio.
Begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day,
trials cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty Lord. Thank you, mighty Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God, mighty Jesus. Mighty, mighty Yeshua. Mighty, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Shalom, shalom. My brother, my sister, welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are so grateful that God give us the opportunity to share his word, to share his revelation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. What a mighty, mighty God we serve, my brother and sister, who is total. He is in total control of our lives. He is in total control of everything. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give unto every man according as his work shall be. Amen. The Lord's reward for each and one of us, my brother and sister, hallelujah, he's going to give to us as he has promised us. Hallelujah. I saw in heaven yesterday morning one of the reward the Lord is going to give his bride. And I saw what Jesus gave one of my sister in the Lord. And hallelujah, it was mind-blowing. It was beautiful, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He is going to fulfill his word. Hallelujah. He's going to fulfill everything he has promised us. Hallelujah. He's going to fulfill. Hallelujah. He said that heaven and earth will pass, but not his word. Hallelujah. He's going to fulfill his promises. He's going to fulfill his word 100%. Some people say more than 100%. My brother and sister, he is loving. He is love. And everything he says in his word, he's going to fulfill. That's what he wanted me to see. I was able to touch and play with one of my reward in heaven, my brother and sister, and the joy was untold. The peace, oh my Lord. I'm going to describe these things a little later. Praise the Lord. But there was something else 2 days before that Jesus had showed me. After, hallelujah, I had a conversation with him. Hallelujah. He knows everything that we're thinking, my brother and sister, even before it comes to mind. He knows exactly how we feel. He knows how much worry, which is sin, it's in our lives. Hallelujah. Everything that we're thinking that comes to mind, he knows. And this is why he's been telling us to repent, my brother and sister. Okay? I just read to you Revelation 22:12, our reward are with him. There's another reward that will be given to those that are staying behind in the great tribulation, which are in Hosea 2:12. He says, I will destroy her wine and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my reward, okay, that my Lord has given me. I will make them a forest, the Lord is saying. Then the beasts of the field should eat them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This past week, past few days, hallelujah. Shalom to each and one of you that are joining us. Sister Luna, Sister Luera, Healing of the Heart, Ezra, Brother Brian. Hallelujah, Joseph, Brother Joseph, Sister Michelle, Brother Strada. Shalom to each and one of you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. I'm giving the chance for more to log in tonight so I can share what Jesus showed me, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Shalom. Shalom to each and one of you. We have a loving God who's going to reward his bride with awesome, awesome things. But he's also going to reward sinner with great judgment and punishment, my brother and sister. He's calling sinner to repentance. Okay? He is calling humanity to repent and turn to him before they end up in the great tribulation. This past few days, I was talking to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. And I was telling the Lord that we've been preaching the rapture for years. There have been other people before us. And that we've been waiting for this rapture, the rapture of the bride of Christ. The how long more we will have to wait. Thank you, Lord. And how close it is. And we're going to have to wait years, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Because he's been telling us, he told me last time there was nothing left. My brother and sister in heaven, he says to me there was nothing left in regard to timing. We know that he can stop time, he can pause time, he can rewind time. He's in control. God is in control. The devils and the demons and the Nephilim are in control of nothing. God is in total control of everything. And everything he's allowed, my brother and sister, he allowed the demon, the devil, and then to test his children. As he has said to Brother Larry. He says to Brother Larry that the devil is an elusive mosquito that he can stop at any time. But I allow him, he says to Brother Larry, to test my children. Shalom, Sister Consuelo. Test my children. Okay? Everything we've seen so far we go through in life is to be tested, to go to trial and tribulation, to make pure, to make ready for the coming of Jesus. He is so holy. He is so righteous, and we are not so holy and righteous at all that we are being tested, put into trial. We are being made white for his coming, my brother and sister. Okay? That's what it is. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're being prepared. We're being made ready. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Daniel 12:10, many should be purified. If you're wondering what's happening to your life, why are you going to test and trial? It's because you're being purified. Okay? You're being purified. Many should be purified and made white. Okay? He is holy, 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 like the Father. So he is, hallelujah, pure. In order for us to meet him, be ready to meet him, we need to make white, purify us, and make white. How are we being made white and try? So when we are being made white, we're being tested. Okay? But the wicked should do wickedly. It's getting worse on here. And now the wicked should understand. People got so many questions. But the wise should understand. The wise bride who's walking with the Lord, who has that extra oil. Okay? Remember that. Keep your lamp full of oil. And from the time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away And the abomination that make it desolate set up, hallelujah, set up. There is a setting up happening right now with the Antichrist. He's setting up himself in the world, my brother and sister, in Babylon, in order for his kingdom to go forward. Thank you, Jesus. From the time that the daily cycle will be taken away and the abomination will make it desolate, this is all during the Great Tribulation. We're not going to see that. But there shall be 1,299 days. All this is during the Great Tribulation. Well, church is not going to be around, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So the Lord Jesus, to make clear to me, hallelujah, took me into the middle of the Great Tribulation. Before he had me come down, he was talking to me in heaven after the rapture. And he says to me, at this moment, I had not experienced the rapture, but I knew I was coming down from heaven because the Lord was talking to me. He was giving me to talk to the people on the earth as he was sending me down. When the Lord Jesus was sending me down, I was descending down to the earth from heaven. I ascended over a group of brothers and sisters that I knew that were backsliding Christians. I knew this because they ended up staying in the Great Tribulation. And not only that, Jesus was telling me to tell them to focus on him. Hallelujah. That besides everything that was going on in their life at this moment, during the Great Tribulation, that they should look forward every day, like every second, to Jesus. Hallelujah. To focus on him. As I come down over them, over what they were, I see that a group was reunited. But the only reason why they were together was because the earth was full of evil. These Nephtalim were walking on the earth, and this group of brothers and sisters were under tremendous fear. Tremendous. You can't even imagine. I come down over them, and I said, they recognize me, Brother Elvie. Hallelujah. Some people have said to me in the Great Tribulation, your brother Elvie from the Lord Tower, you used to talk about these things. And you were right, I've been told in the Great Tribulation, by people. We didn't listen to you. We didn't believe you, heard people say. Well, this group of people that were there, when I began to tell them, listen, I know that all these demons are walking the earth, and you're going through the worst time in humanity. It's very difficult for you. But you need to focus on the Lord no matter what's going on. In other words, I didn't see them praying. I didn't see them repenting. I just saw them under tremendous fear. And I said, no, focus on Jesus. This is what God wants you to do, to be about your relationship with him. Okay? And they stopped me and said, listen, since the church is gone, you have not been here, LV. And one of the brothers says to me, it is about 700 times worse than when you people left, he says to me. And the other brothers and sisters totally agree with him. He said, when you were on the earth in your days, in those days when you were on the earth, when the church was on the earth, you can still go to the market and buy food. You can still go get all these things. Now, 700 times worse, there's no food in the market. We're eating practically nothing for days and weeks. It is the worst. And I know that these demons come a certain time of the night and chase them and drug some of them, drop them by the feet and torment them to bring them to hell. I know these things are happening. My brother and sister, they're describing to me the evilness of the Great Tribulation, how bad it is, how wicked it is. But one thing I noticed was that Jesus wanted me to notice, how old did these people look? Was it
30 years from now? Was it 20 years from now? Was it 10 years from now? I barely can tell if it was 3 years from now or two. And the people that I knew. Like if I knew someone now who was there, it was not much older. A sister had a rapture revelation the other day. And she said, I asked her, sister, in your rapture revelation, how old do you look? She said, I'm about 24 years of age, Brother Ovi. I did not look older when the Lord showed me this. When the rapture would happen, she didn't look 30. She didn't look much older than what she looked now in this rapture departure experience that she had, my brother and sister. And it was stunning. You mean you practically look the same? Do you look the same? Do you look much older? Can you explain to me? She said, no, I looked at myself, she said, in this rapture experience, and I did not look much older. And this is kind of what the Lord was confirming to me. I didn't look myself much older when the church was gone, my brother and sister. Okay? The church disappeared. And the Lord said to me, I'm about to take my children home. That's his word to me. Okay? There's not much left. I'm taking them home. I'm taking you home. It's the word, he says. And showing me these people, how they look still the same as they look now. And they are in the, they find themselves in the, almost, I don't know, a year or two or three in the Great Tribulation. If they look 3 years older, if you can, those are the 3 years that they went into the Great Tribulation. My brother and sister, the rapture is so close that if you could see these people, if you can see your neighbors, if you can see some of the people that are not looking for God, that are not repenting now, how old did they look when the rapture happened? They practically look the same in age. You will be stunned, I mean, shocked on how close it is. It is very, very close. The word of the Lord to some of his prophets has been, many will be caught by surprise. Many things they have years to go, and they are going to be surprised. My brother and sister, is close. Do not waste a minute or a second. Okay? Don't. Hallelujah. Blessed is he that waiteth to come to the 335 days, says Daniel. Hallelujah. Those that wait to the end of the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister, hallelujah, are blessed. Blessed is Daniel. Because when I've been at the end of the great tribulation, nobody left. A very few people. You can compare the people left with the finger in your hand. That's how much little people are left. What happened? Most of everyone had died. They had died, my brother and sister. Why? Because the earth, hallelujah, the earth is on a level unknown and uncomparable, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Comparing it to Daniel, what Jesus said, that when therefore, Matthew 24:15, ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing on the holy place. Who read it, let him understand. And the problem is that many people are reading it, but they don't understand. And the Lord said, you need to understand. In other words, you need to seek God to reveal this. Verse 16, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountain. Now, go look at the map of Israel and look how far are the people that are in Judea. Okay? In Judea. Look at the people that are in the plain of Judea. Judea. This part of Judea is practically plain. Look how far it is from here to the mountain. It's a trail. There's a way to get to the mountain. Jesus said, let them that be in Judea flee to the mountain. You have an idea, according to the map of Israel, of the people that are in Judea? How far it is from them to the mountain, from Judea to the mountain? You're going to have to look at the map and compare and say, wow, wait a minute. I never studied this. I never looked this up. I didn't know what Jesus meant when he said, if you are in Judea, flee to the mountain. Oh, Lord, help us understand. Verse 17, let him that is in the house that come down and take anything out of his house. Exactly. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothing. These things right now, if you compare it to how people live in Israel, some people have underground places there. They're in the house top. They're walking practically on the earth. Either if you're walking on top of your house, or if you're working in the field, that a lot of people do this a lot in Judea, flee, run. We can't fly yet. We can't fly yet. Run. But pray ye that you, that your fly be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath day. Okay? And yes, so God, the Lord says they will still be celebrating Sabbath there in Judea. Yes. Including the Christian. Yes, they keep Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom is what they say on this day. Early, already finished. It's 6 o'clock today. Or yesterday, I'm sorry. But pray ye that the fly will not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Because this is the day that no one does anything. In the winter, mostly people stay home. On Sabbath day, people don't go to work. They stay home also. If you have to run on the Sabbath day when there's practically nothing available, it'll be very hard, very difficult to do so. For verse 21, there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, not even it shall be. Hallelujah. This week when I was there, the demon was walking the earth. And the people were with tremendous fear there. Tremendous. You can't even imagine. 700 times worse than what it is now. Life is going to become here in the United States. 700 times worse. No food. No drinkable water. No drinkable water. Hallelujah. Cannot go to your faucet and get some water or the fridge and get some water. I remember seeing power outages most of the, through the 7-year Great Tribulation, no power available. The solar panel that a lot of today's solar panel are being announced because they're so low to capture. They can capture the solar rate. Okay, had a company come to my house about that. They capture the new solar panel, capture the solar rate. So you don't need much sun to work now on these new solar panels. Even these are not going to be good during the great tribulation, my brother and sister. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Okay, it's going to be terrible. Okay? It's such a great tribulation that for years, people have been comparing great tribulation with tribulation. What is the difference? The trial, the tribulation that Jesus talks about is for us to be made white, according to Daniel, to be ready for the bride, to be ready as a bride, to be ready for heaven. But this great tribulation, it cannot be compared with anything you and I know. It's 700 times worse. These people began to tell me how difficult their life is now, and the Lord wanted me to hear them say these things. Because right now, we have no idea of being without power in our home. Not being able to flush your toilet. Or your fridge not being able to run. We don't know what is it to, right now, we have no idea what is it that for a government to file for bankruptcy. And for there be no money in the bank. We have no idea that we cannot go to the ATM. We cannot go to the store with our ATM card and buy food. We haven't lived this way for a long time, my brother and sister. We don't know. Most of us, since we were born, has been this way. Things have been available for us. During this time, that's not available. ATM are not available for them. If the ATMs are there, they're empty. They're broken into. Banks are broken into. Our government is broke. My brother and sister, the demons are running the earth. Terrible. No drinkable water. Food. Food is so hard to find. Because by this time, close to the middle of the Great Tribulation, people have eaten their cats already, eaten their dogs, even practically all the wild deers, hawks, cows, practically everything we know by the middle of the Great Tribulation is gone. Demon on purpose damaged the rest of the food. When they were released, they came down to the earth to contaminate and destroy everything for humanity. They wanted to leave humanity without anything. That's why when you read Daniel 11, the book of Daniel, you read how terrible life is. They are competing for power, these demons, on the earth. And they take everything away from humanity. Humanity is completely vulnerable. They have nothing to eat. Even their homes are destroyed. No power, no food, no water. For 7 years. The fact of the matter is that it's for 7 years. My brother and sister. My Lord. Unless a day shall be shortened, shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lord, here is the Christ, or there, believe it now. For there shall rise for Christ, for prophets shall show great sign, wonder, is so much that if it were possible, they should deceive the elect. Behold, I have told you before. Before what? Before it comes. Before you have to live through this bad time. Praise the Lord. I have to share this with you. I didn't want to come and share bad news tonight, but since the Lord showed me that, hallelujah, I wanted to leave the best for last. Okay? I wanted to leave the best for last. Hallelujah. But I have to warn people in regard to that because everything is at hand right now. So let me play Sister Barbara's last word before I share. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What the Lord showed me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Play this out. I'll be back.
Please. Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Killer 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today with a prophecy that's extremely, extremely interesting. So join me in the King James Version Bible. I'm going to be in the book of James. James chapter, 4. How about we do 14? Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanished away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Right, let's see if there's one other one I want to. No, I read chapter 5 too, so you might want to do that. I don't think I'm going to have time to read the whole thing. So the prophecy I got about 6 o'clock this morning, I started getting it in my prayer time as normal. I asked if there was anything I needed to see or speak, and I got this. Wait till you hear this. I'm going to say this before I even read it. Please get your house in order. This is so unusual, getting these prophecies all the time like this. We know Jesus is coming. Please, please, please get your life in order and your house in order. So here we go. Daughter, speak about man's life on earth. Man's life is a vapor, just a moment in time, then it vanishes. I have created each one of you for a specific purpose. I formed you and placed you in your mother's womb. Do you know who I am? Man is now under judgment for the abominations against his fellow man, his own children, and his own babies in the womb. How can any escape damnation unless he has wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of me, I am. I am at the door. Man has corrupted my seed and has mingled it. Every day man grows more sinister. Each one of you will stand before me and give an account of your life, every deed, action, and every word out of your mouth. Every man. I see blasphemy running rampant, the unforgivable sin. Do you know what that is? I am a God who forgives and remembers your sin no more, if you truly have a repentant heart. Have you read my words? Today may be your last breath. I want you to consider each and every word written here. Sit alone in your quiet place and speak to me now. Tell me what is your heart's desire. Come to me now. I have been waiting for you. Major destruction and calamity is brewing on the earth. My cup of wrath is overflowing. My judgment continues. Whoa, wow, whoa, whoa. Can you imagine that? Think about it. I'm hoping I'm able to post this actual message that I posted on Facebook this morning. I'm hoping I'm able to put it under the video today. I've been having a problem doing that. That's why it hasn't been there on my own. You need to read this again. Listen to it a few times. I was blown away with this. He's again calling you and saying, do it now, do it now, do it now, know him now, 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 now. Do you understand? Now, do it now. He's saying this could be your last breath. You don't know what's coming. He says calamity and, what did he say? Calamity and destruction is brewing on the earth. He's speaking to his messengers out here. Not just me, others. We're all saying the same thing. He's saying, do it now. I'm saying, do it now. I've been saying, do it now for 10 years. His time is not like our time. He showed me in a video, in a prophecy one time, how his time works. It could stop and then could pick up right where it left off. His time is not our time. When he says now, I run around when he does it. You've seen me running around, and I tell you I run around. If he tells me to do something now, I don't waste 1 second. I do it right then, whatever it was. That's what happened when I was getting rebaptized. For an entire year, he kept telling me over and over and over. I want to say that was about 2006. That's all I heard. Get baptized, submerged. Get baptized, submerged. I was running around trying to find out where to get baptized, submerged. I did it a year. He kept on saying, now, now, now. It was coming towards the end of the year. It was coming towards September. I didn't know what to do or where to go. He kept saying, now. I said, how about I just wait till the spring and then, you know, it's going to be warm. And I could, no, now. I did it now. I did it when he said. A lot of you know this story. I got baptized in the swimming pool next door. It was like 50 degrees out. It was in September. And this is funny, by a pastor that had no license. And I guess it worked. He told me, do it now. Right then, right after that, is when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So my natural birthday is in September. My spiritual birthday, how about this, was the very next day, born again. You need to do it now when he says now. I can't say it any better. He can't say it any better. He's saying calamity. He's saying his wrath. He's saying destruction. Do it now. Get your house in order. Make sure you have a plan. Make sure you know what's going on. Jesus is coming back now. He's saying it now. Do you understand?
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. That is the Lord saying, ready now. It is in the same manner he spoke to me. He made it very, very clear, my brother and sister, that this is it. Hallelujah. We don't have much to look forward. My brother and sister, his promises are true. Amen, my brother and sister. Isaiah 25:8, he will swallow up death and victory. Hallelujah. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Hallelujah. And rebuke his people shall he take away from all the earth. Hallelujah. Rebuke his people he takes away from off all the earth from the Lord, for the Lord has spoken it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? He's going to take people from off
the earth. Okay, rebuke his people. He should take away from off of the earth. Very clear there. This is in the King James Bible that I'm reading it from. The people he's going to take off from the earth, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Very clear. Isaiah 25:8. Okay? He will swallow up death and victory. This Rachel, the pastor, this is him changing everything, how people are supposed to die natural. He swallows up death. He transformed, changed our body into a supernatural body, a heavenly body, a spiritual body, a body like him as the day of the resurrection. The Lord will wipe away all tears from the faces. Let me tell you what heaven has looked like. My experience this week was so awesome. Every time I'm taken to heaven, in one single minute or left, in second, everything that concerned me, that I had worry in my mind about going home, whatever it is, when I'm in heaven, all that goes away. It dissipates. Heaven hit me from all sides with tremendous peace, with tremendous joy, with tremendous fulfillment from God, where I am totally, totally happy. I am totally, totally full of joy and peace. I am never concerned now, ever, it is impossible to be concerned with anything that I was concerned with before. I'm still the same person, but heaven is so perfect. Heaven is so full of peace and joy of God, my brother and sister, that it's impossible once you are in heaven to be worried about anything or nothing from this life. The vanity of this life become nothing in second, my brother and sister. At the moment I was there, that peace from every part of the heaven, from every side, began to hit me like a train coming toward me. It's all in my own thinking. I'm describing it. My brother and sister, whilst I was in total joy and total peace, I knew I was home right away. I was in a land that I didn't know God has given to me. At the moment I was there, I knew it was mine. I knew God had given me this land. It was a land that had a barn to it, like a land that where I will have horse. I had this horse, not the horse that I seen before in heaven, but in this land that God has given me, my brother and sister, this white horse, which I knew already, and I call him Victory, came running to me, beautiful, large horse, my brother and sister. He came, once he saw me in heaven, he knew I was his owner, Elvie. He came running to me. That for a second, I thought he was going to run me over. And I indicated for him to slow down. And he stopped. But he was so, so happy to see me, my brother and sister. And I was so happy to see him. To the point I was next to a sister landing heaven. And there was a fence between our land. But it was a fence just to keep the animal separated from each other. And my brother and sister, this sister has two horses. When she saw my horse coming, I indicated to her, my horse, he's very excited right now to see me. But as soon as I indicate for him to calm down, he'll calm down. But I was so excited to see him, my brother and sister. But she has two horses from Jesus. And she said to me that these horses was part of her reward from Jesus, from God. And I was excited. And she said, I will show them to you. It's like she called her horses. And one of the horses came beside my horse, my white horse. Beautiful and white. Just like we have on earth, we have horses that are black, white, yellow, orange. So much orange and different colors, but not like the horse she was about to show me. Her horse was pink. It was the most beautiful pink horse that I ever saw in my entire life. For a second, I even thought that her horse was painted or colored somehow. But this pink horse of hers that she's so happy and so excited that Jesus giving her as part of her reward, my brother insisted, it was not painted. It was not spray painted. It's an original pink horse that you can only find in heaven. And Jesus has given this sister this horse as a reward. The horse was moving, walking in such a beautiful way. It blew my mind. And she said, this is not the only one. She also had a purple one, horse, that came. And I was like, what? We never seen things like this on this earth. We never seen a pink or purple horse like I was just seeing in heaven, my brother and sister. It was the most beautiful horse. Hallelujah. Thomas Kincaid cannot draw you this horse, because the color to make a horse, to make the drawing look this way, is not available on the earth, but only in heaven. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. When you go to heaven, these are the things you're going to see, that you're going to stand there with your mouth open. What? And they are 100% original, made by God, my brother and sister. Okay? It will leave you with your mouth open. And your mind is like, wow. The things that you don't think is possible, as Jesus told his disciple, with God, all things are possible, my brother and sister. The reward that God has for you are going to blow your mind. These are the two rewards the Lord has for this sister. And that was only part of her reward. I share with some of you, the brother Larry had asked Father to show me his mansion in heaven one time. And when I was taken to his mansion, I went into his bathroom and living room. I was allowed to, because he asked God and I asked the Lord. And God have agreed with us. When I went into his bedroom, the curtain and the window curtain of his bedroom were made of diamond, my brother and sister. The diamond on those curtain, I never seen before. I went to several jewelry stores, like in New York, New Jersey. That's where I grew up, my brother and sister. And a lot of these stores have diamonds. I seen several diamonds. But these diamonds in heaven are mind-blowing, my brother and sister. And they're given to you in a curtain, my brother and sister. And of your window curtains are made of diamonds in heaven. And I went to the different room, diamond curtain, even in the living room windows, my brother and sister. God gives you things. The people down here hold so valuable. In heaven, it's not that they're not valuable, but not like down here. God gives them to you. You have them. You have them. But they are not hold so valuable as people hold them down here. People will be willing to lose their life. Not in heaven. He'll give you a curtain. He'll give a dress with diamonds. You, my sister, are dressed with diamond. I saw this in heaven. Some of your dress will be adorned with diamond design on it, original, pure, 100% diamond on your dress, my sisters, in heaven. And sister looks beautiful. They all look in the 20, beautiful body. No one is overweight in heaven. I haven't seen anyone overweight in heaven yet. You have a perfect body, young, beautiful forever, and you dress up with diamond. How can you reject what God has given you? A perfect life with him. You'll never get sick. Okay? You'll never get sick. And the only reason you will cry is because God is giving you something awesome that will make you cry of joy. Think about it for a second. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Your God loves you so much. He's given you heaven. He's given you paradise. He's given you so much because he loves you. And it's all up there waiting for you. Your mansion is waiting for you. Beautifully made by Jesus. Handmade by him. Designed by God. According to your heart, to the things that you hold, the most beautiful things you desire to have, he gives to you in your mansion. God knows your heart even better than you know it yourself. So when God gives you, hallelujah, your heart petition, your mansion is designed in such a way, in such a form, where you're going to say, wow, that's exactly what I wanted. And then the surprise he has for you, like the sister that loves horses, giving her a pink and purple horse, my brother and sister, that we don't have these type of horses on the earth. And they love her, and she loves them, and they're very obedient to her. My horse was next to me, and I hugged him, hugged his neck, and he was so happy to be in there with me. He wanted to go and play with me, my brother and sister, and I was full of joy to see him. Praise you, Lord. Larry and I talked about this land. The brother Larry says to me, I remember one time, Brother Larry, God told him he was giving him a piece of land in heaven. And I said, wow, that is so awesome. I never thought about that, Brother Larry. He said, Brother Larry, why didn't you ask God for a piece of land in heaven? He'll give it to you. I said, huh? It's things that don't go through your mind. You're not thinking about them. So I decided to ask God for a piece of land in heaven. Okay? And it's a piece of land that you will love. Big enough. I have so much land up there where I can run and play with my horse and my children. And have fun. All day long. And when we stay all day long, there's no night in heaven. Think about it for a second. There's no night. My brother insisted. The light is like thousands of times stronger than our light. Or maybe a million. It's so powerful. It penetrates everything. That's how powerful it is. Thank you, Lord. You can see everything clear. Heaven is just mind-blowing, some people say. Such incredible, such a beautiful place. And we get to enjoy that place with God. Enjoy it in the presence of God in total freedom, in total joy, in total peace. You'll never need to worry about an earthquake. Shalom, Sister Renee. A tsunami. Hallelujah. A lack of this, a lack of nothing, because you lack nothing in heaven. Nothing you're lacking in heaven. You're totally taken care by God, by Jesus. And it's not like you're going to say, well, what I need this or I need none of that. before it comes to mind, they're knocking on your door. The angels are knocking on your door, delivering the things you need. The next dress you're going to change to is already there for you. The next clothing. And it's a special occasion when you need a special dress. By the time you think about it, they're knocking on your door before it even comes to your mind. Father, send them to give you this dress, sister. Or Father, send them to give you this garment, brother. Before it comes to your mind, it's already there for you. Everything is given to you by God before you need it. Over here, when you need something, you probably don't even have the money to buy it, to purchase it. And you have to go buy what you have, not in heaven. Not in heaven. My brother and sister, every single occasion in heaven, you need a clothing. Your clothing is already made for you. Remember when Jesus took me to the factory of clothing for the bride? Every single dress for every single believer has already been made. For every single sister, every single brother, every single clothing you're going to need for the occasion has already been made for you. The Lord knows from here to 1,000 years how much clothing you're going to need. And it's a lot. He already taken care of that for you. What car are you going to need in the millennium? None. You're going to be able to fly like the angel. But God knows that you would like to have certain things. He'll give them to you. My brother and sister, I saw this in the millennium. The millennium is special. It's Jesus on the earth in Jerusalem. I told you that Jerusalem is the capital of the world. The Son of God, the King of Kings, is coming to rule the earth from Jerusalem, my brother and sister. The only thing he's going to rule with a rod of iron, the Bible says. Very strict. Very strict. He's not going to allow no sin. No sin at all. Since the devil cannot put an evil thought into your mind, throw an evil thought into your mind, the only sin you're going to be able to do is the one that probably someone will offer you. That will not be allowed in the millennium. Everything is totally different, changed, my brother and sister. So I'm in heaven. The sister showing me the things God has given to her, the two horses, and the land also that God given to her. And it was, wow, beautiful. And I called, you may come anytime to my land. Elvie, people are very nice. It's not like, you saw the fence? You better not cross that fence. No, nothing like that. Not in heaven. The fence is just to keep everything in order. But then they tell you, no, you can come to my land. Yeah, you're welcome. Even if you don't see me around, you can come in. No problem. Come in. You're welcome. Go ahead. You know? Everyone respect everyone, please. I always believe that on the love, there's respect. Always believe that. It was in my heart. I told people for years preaching, even before I was taken to heaven. Then when I was taken to heaven and I saw this order, this discipline in heaven, all under love, because God is love and everybody love each other, there's great respect to one another in heaven. No one disrespects each other. No one says anything against anyone. But look at each other with great respect and honor. My brother and sister, it's the place where you want to be. There's not a single disagreement in heaven, not a single disagreement. Because what to disagree about? We all serve our God and we love our brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And everyone say, my brother or my sister. Not like in this earth. Some Christian call each other guys. Oh, you guys, excuse me? Guys, excuse me? I'm your brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. You're my brother in Christ. What do you mean, guys? What word is that in between Christians? My brother and sister. Hallelujah. We are brothers in Christ, part of the same body. We are the same Lord. We are the same God. We're brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. In the Lord. Guys, what is that? This is how people speak to each other in hell. Enemy, guys, not in heaven. You don't hear those speech in heaven. And we're going to heaven to be neighbor for eternity. Hello, someone. Not neighbor for 200 years or anything. No, neighbor for eternity. My brother and sister. And with great love and respect, we're going to treat each other. We need to practice here on this earth. That is called the Christian life. We practice here because in heaven, this is how we're going to live. You know who my brothers and sisters are? You. You are my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Because even my own family may not make it in the rapture. May not even make it. I'm talking about my flesh family. They might not even make it to heaven. Okay? They may not even make it through the millennium. But you that are going home with me in the rapture, you are my brothers and sisters. With you are the one that I'm going to live with. My brother and sister, you will be the one that will go to the house of the Lord with me to worship our God together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are the brothers and sisters that the Lord has put us together. Thank you, Lord. When they were looking for Jesus, Mary and them, asking for Jesus, and they say, your family's looking for him. And he told them that the family was the brothers that were there. Peter, Matthew, John, and them that were following Jesus, those were her brothers and sisters. We are the brothers and sisters. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. We are the brothers and sisters serving the Lord together. In heaven, it's this way. Hallelujah. We're one family in the Lord. One in Christ. Part of his body. The reason why he chose us is because he knew us. He called us before we were born to be who we are today. Before we were in our mother's womb, he called us. He gave us to this world. But he knew he was going to bring us together. The reason why we are together is because it was God who brought us together. It is by his power. It is by his mind that we are together, my brother and sister. There's no other way. There cannot be no other way. He has chosen us and him, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory, says Paul. Hallelujah. So when this corrector has put incorruption, this mortal shall have put immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed in victory. Once we are changed, we are transformed, death is swallowed in victory. My brother and sister, when we are changed, when we are transformed in a glorified body, death is swallowed in victory. No more. Now you're able to get sick and so much more. But after you are changed and transformed, not anymore. This is the transformation about to begin. And this transformation has to do with the Lord using his people in the revival. The revival that the Lord promised to the earth for over 100 years. He's going to bring to pass in the whole world. There's going to be a last move of God. I believe this move of God is going to keep in people's mind after they go into the great tribulation what God did that he promised. Those that stay behind, those that be going into the great tribulation, will have in their memory a revival, a great move of God. Undeniable proof of God is coming to this earth. People will say, God move as he promised. And we did not listen. We did not repent. We did not prepare. We did not seek him. But he did move. Can you imagine that? People in the Great Tribulation thinking, God move. God save. We saw miracle like we never seen before. We saw the dead rise. We saw people standing up after being in a wheelchair, leg coming out of their body, arm growing after being cut off or blown away. We saw them grow back again with our own eyes. We saw the video on YouTube and many other platforms. I believe platforms like YouTube are being prepared for this video. YouTube has been censoring a lot of Christians' video. But my brother and sister, no one is going to block away the move of God. Because there are many cell phones today and camera people who will be recording this miracle very soon. And they will be all over the internet. So much that they'll make the Antichrist and them really angry with this video. And that's when they're going to begin to police and block the internet after the bride is gone. Because these videos are going to shock humanity. They're going to see miracle that they should have been coming out of the church for years, but they never did, happening for a very short time. Get your camera ready. Get your cell phone ready. Because when this move of God comes, my brother and sister, it's going to be short, but it's going to be sure. Sure miracle. Hallelujah. Sure salvation. They're going to see with their eyes. Hallelujah. The miracle of the Lord. And all for the glory of Jesus. People will know that he is God, that he is Lord of Lord and King of King. And whenever he chooses to move, whenever he chooses to do miracles and sign, hallelujah, they will be undeniable. Just as the disciple in the book of Acts, when they began all that dear Theophilo, they began to talk about the undeniable proof of Jesus. The things that they saw with their own eye, that they hold true, the undeniable proof of Jesus, the undeniable true proof of what he did and how he was resurrected on the third day, according to the word, they lived, they saw. That was the first revival. Because the disciple walked with Jesus, saw his miracle for 3.5 years. And it was so many miracles that they did not have enough scroll to write upon all, my brother and sister, the miracle. Today and day, we have the technology to write down all those miracles. But back then, there was only a few writers or scribes that can write. We know that Peter could not write. That's why he had to have someone write his letters. Some of the disciples could not write. And a lot of the people in town did not know how to write. The privilege of writers was to the scribes, my brother and sister. Not the majority of people. It was very few selected people that went to school to learn how to write, which were called scribes back then. My brother and sister. And so the limited scroll that they had to write down all those miracles, and then most of the scribes were not Christians. So they were not going to write the things that they did not see themselves, or if they saw, they questioned it. Hallelujah. Or did not see most of them because they were not following Jesus. Because in order for you to see these things, you have to follow Jesus. You have to be a follower. to be able to describe these things. But a lot of people saw who were not followers. We know that for a fact. But it was people the Lord wanted to save. Even some of the Pharisees saw the signs and wonder. It was so much that they kept asking the Lord for signs and wonder. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So all the miracle was not written down, but this time, in this revival, in this great move of God coming up, we got cell phones. We got computers. We got so many ways to write down the miracles, to record the miracles, to have this undeniable proof of the great move of God that is coming upon the earth. Well, we can keep it on our computer and hard drive. Make sure you got your external hard drive. Because look what Bill Gates and all these people have done lately. They've been able to go into people's computer and there's a CPU virus going on online that few has been talking about that is driving people's computer crazy. I believe the Antichrist in the last days is trying to move things in a way where there's supposedly not enough CPU BMA. Okay, not enough CPU BMA. And then there's a CPU virus causing a lot of problem up here that they promised to fix, but supposedly, okay, I believe they're trying to prepare to remove from people's computer the photos and video that they're going to have of this miracle. As the enemy hears the prophet prophesying this great move of God, he's trying to get ready on the other side to try to block the photos, the video, to try to keep all this information hidden only among a few people and then call them crazy. My brother and sister. But if we are wise, you can have an external hard drive on your computer that when these things begin to happen and they're put on video, download it to the drive and disconnect it. There's a way for you to put a password on your drive and your information. There's a way for you to secure your information on your computer. That if anything happens, let's say if they shut down your computer and everything gets erased in your computer, do you have a backup? Okay? You can have an external drive to your network at home where they can do this. You still can keep your information. You got to be thinking about these things because they are already getting ready to delete everything on your computer, wipe up everything out of your computer. Windows has been doing this to a lot of people lately. People have been losing everything on their computer. These are bugs that they're sending online that go undetectable in your computer, even with the best antivirus. And they're getting hold of people's information, okay, and they're being deleted. Some people have some Christian stuff that they pray for, okay, that they have written down out of the sign. Something happened to the computer, boom, they lose everything. Prepare for the worst. Prepare for their plan to erase all your information in your computer. Back up your computer. And you may use Windows backup, not safe. Okay? Hallelujah. And yes, Mac computers are doing the same. Remotely, they're being erased. Some people thought a Mac computer would be the safer one, so they went from Windows to Mac, and even Linux computer has been safe for a while, but also has been hacked in many other ways, and people information has been deleted. Okay, once your hard drive is formatted or deleted, this very difficult to get everything back, especially completely, especially information. Okay, that God has given you, the people writing down. So have an external drive next to your computer. And make sure it has a password. Some company sells you a drive, a network drive, where it has a software by itself. Okay? But, you know, have an external drive. Have an external drive, external memory, where you can put in the stuff in and get it out. You can scan your drive or memory before you put it back in the computer. Before, because they can throw a software where if you put the drive, it can be deleted or removed. Prepare for the worst. Prepare for the worst. Because this is a last move, very short move, my brother and sister, that is coming to a great move of God, yes. Okay? You can also pray for your computer. Okay? Prayer always works. Prayer always works. Pray for your computer for God to protect your computer. Because I tell you, thank you, Lord, they can do that also. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God overcame the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. So if you're looking for something special, that special has been given to you through the Holy Spirit. And if you exercise your faith, if you exercise your faith, if you ask God every day to increase your faith, you are going to discover a treasure that's been put in your life through the Holy Spirit. A powerful arm that's been put in you through the Holy Spirit. The most powerful arm on this earth is the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. So why is it that you feel so vulnerable? Because you have not walked by faith yet. If you walk by faith and not by sight, hallelujah, you're going to discover something mighty. Jesus said that if you have faith of the size of a mustard seed, you will speak to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will obey. Hallelujah. In other words, if you just have a little faith, everything that seems impossible to you, when you pray, God is going to make possible to you. But you need to have that little faith, that grain of mustard seed, that little mustard seed in you needs to be there. Hallelujah. Exercise your faith. And if you feel you have no faith, it is just a feeling, not a fact. The fact is that you have faith. But if you don't exercise it, it's different. Hallelujah. So exercise your faith. Begin to ask the Lord to increase your faith in the area that you feel that you don't have it. Say, Lord, in this area of my life, Lord, increase my faith, Lord. It might be a part of your life where you feel very strong in faith. You probably feel strong in faith when you pray. You probably feel strong in faith when you pray for other people. When you pray for the sick. When you rebuke demons, you probably feel very powerful in all that area. But there may be an area in your life where you don't feel powerful enough. Some people, faith lacks when they need to look for a job, when they need to go to court, when they need to confront someone that had harmed them in years ago. They don't feel the faith, don't feel so strong anymore with their family. With the children, whatever it is, whatever area in your life that you don't feel so strong in faith anymore, you need to ask the Lord to increase your faith in that area. Hallelujah. And the Lord will increase your faith. That means you trust in God to help you through that someone or thing that is coming against you. And the Lord will increase your faith in that area. And the way he will do it, it may not be pleasing, but it works. God will do something in your life that don't feel pleasing. But you can ask for the peace. Have you ever asked for peace when you're going through trouble? When something is hard, when something is difficult? Pray for peace. Declare peace in your life. When you're going through something you don't like, something difficult, something where you try before and you fail, according to you. Pray for peace in that area and pray that your faith will be increased. Maybe when you're asking God for something, you don't feel the faith there. You feel that there's no faith there when you're praying. Well, you're going to have to ask the Lord there to, hallelujah, to empower your faith in that area, to increase your faith in that area. that you're able to exercise your faith. Hallelujah. Some people can pray for other people together, and God will grant that other person through faith, putting it together. But when it has to do with their problem, certain problem, they feel that they have no faith. Those are the areas where God wants you to work with him with. Remember what the Lord said to Sister Barbara? Come to me. Bring them to me. That's where you come to Jesus. Say, Lord, John 15, 4 and 5, without Jesus, nothing I can do. This is what the Lord wants you to be vulnerable. Why? That vulnerability that we call vulnerable is the Lord wants you to depend on him on that. Someone can come to you and say, will you help me pray that God will give me a godly man that I can marry? First, oh, yeah, let's pray. And God will grant it to that other person. When it has to do with you being single, asking God for a godly man, oh, there comes doubt. Oh, I don't think he's going to give it to me. That's where you need help. Who do you want to help you in that area? A brother, a sister, a pastor, a minister? To some people, this is the way they think. Well, let me talk to my pastor. Let me talk to my friend. Well, let me contact my local pastor. Ooh, I'm going to tell you something that works better than your pastor, than your friend, than your brother, than your sister. Always pray to Jesus for help. Say, Lord, this is my frustration, Lord. Lord, this is what you know, because he already knows your heart. Where I struggle, Lord, the worst. Lord, here I really need your help, Lord, because this is where I struggle. This is where, hallelujah, my shortcomings are manifested to me so clear. Lord, I'm failing here, Lord. I'm failing. Don't be afraid to tell him that. That's what he wants to hear you say. That's where you're humbling yourself now. Lord, I asked you this before, but I did not ask for faith. And I'm sorry, Lord. I truly repent, Lord. I truly repent. Let me give you an example when you don't ask for faith, how it's like. Here it is. You come to a judge in the court, and you say to the judge, may you grant me a moment for me to ask you a question? Judge, I need you to answer me this question. The judge, all right, come forward, I'll allow you. Go ahead, ask me the question. Are you really a judge? I mean, he got his PhD. I mean, he has his degree. He went to law school. He probably was a lawyer before he became a judge. And he knows all this stuff. He knows his stuff very good. And he been a judge for years. But you come to him and you say, are you really a judge? Should I take you serious? He's like, what are you doing? You're disrespecting me. That's how it is when you ask without faith. When you ask without faith, instead of you believing, you are questioning. You see the difference now? Instead of you boldly, humbly asking, you are doubting. I done this with the Lord. I seen his face. When I had asked him something, he is the word that made no sense. My brother and sister, he is patient, he is loving. But that's kind of what we do when we come with no faith to him. It's like we're asking him, are you really the Son of God? Are you really the King of Kings when we don't believe him? That's kind of what we're saying. Hallelujah. When that man came to him, hallelujah, and asked him to heal him in the word, hallelujah, but said, Lord, increase, help my unbelief. He was humbling himself before the Lord. Humbling himself before the Lord. Hallelujah. Putting himself in a position for Jesus to help him. When you and I humble ourselves before him, we are putting ourselves in a position to be helped. But when you comes with doubt and unbelief, it might be that what you express from your mouth is only pride. 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 Approach him differently this time. Go to him for help. Tell him your frustration. Tell him how difficult it is for you. And tell him, because I've done this, that you want to ask with faith. Not anymore without unbelief. Because you're tired of faith. Okay? You don't want to ask and miss, as the word says. Hallelujah. You don't want to ask and not receive. You're tired of praying without faith. And that you really need urgent for him to increase your faith, because you do not want to pray anymore without faith. And say, Lord, I am willing to fast. I am willing to spend the time with you in prayer. For you, Lord, to help me to ask with faith. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. I don't want to offend you anymore. You say that we should pray with faith, that if we have faith as little as a mustard seed, we will speak to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will obey. That the seed, the mustard seed, the smallest seed of all, but once it's planted in the field, it will grow to be the largest tree. Lord, I want to pray with faith. I want to pray with faith. I do not want to pray without faith anymore. I ask him, I beg him, that I don't want to pray without faith anymore. And when I began to pray this way, I remember, I kept asking. I fasted. I kept asking. I went back to him one day. I was in prayer with him this time. He had touched me in a special way. When I was praying, fire was coming out of my mouth in prayer, in the spirit. I could see the fire that was not there before. He had done something to me where I was praying. And then the spirit, the prayer that one time had no faith, now faith was being shown to me as fire coming out of my mouth, my brother and sister. I was stunned. I was so surprised that I shook my head and opened my eyes. And then again, closed my eyes and pray. That my spiritual eye was open again. And it was the Lord having me pray with faith. But the faith was fire. The prayer was fire. So the prayer that comes with doubt and unbelieving, now faith comes dry, death, like their prayer, in other words. But when you're able to pray with faith, fire comes out of your mouth in the spirit when you're praying. Whoa, I was shocked by this. It was awesome. I have been begging him that I didn't want to pray with doubt and unbelief anymore. To please help me to pray with faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That I wanted to please him. Because praying with faith pleases God. My brother and sister, if you have not been reminded of this, that's exactly what he says in the book of Hebrews. Thank you, Lord. 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. If I come to him in prayer, and I'm just full of doubt and unbelief, and I'm praying in doubt and unbelief, I'm not pleasing him. I may think it's okay as a Christian. The church probably told me it was okay. Probably brothers and sisters told me it was okay. Just pray. Just pray, brother. Just pray, sister, they'll say to you. But you're telling me it's okay for me to pray with doubt and unbelief because that's what I'm full of. In another word, they just tell you just pray. Oh, no, just pray. You can come out of your prayer closet. I pray 3, 4, 5 hours every day, Brother Elvie. But nothing happened. Are you praying with faith? Or are you still praying with doubt and unbelief? Religious. Are you praying religious? Religion. The word full of religion and is dead. Evermore. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Faith is life. Hallelujah. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, you're coming to the king, you come into God. You see, you're coming to God. You're coming to the king. Must believe that he is. Hallelujah. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith now. Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for. The evidence of the things not seen. If you don't believe there's no substance in you to pray. But when you believe, faith is the substance. Faith is like the tool you use to come to God and say, oh, Lord, I'm here. I'm talking to you. Hear me, oh, Lord. Hear my prayer, oh, Lord. For by the elder obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so the things which are not seen were made by the things that do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. How can this young man, who only lived by maybe a few years, have grown so much in faith to please God? How can Abel, who was killed by Cain, that lived so short, that his life was so little on the earth, he didn't grow up to be a teenager or a man to get married and have children. None of that. His life was short. But he obtained something that many who's been living many years on the earth have not obtained yet in his faith. My brother and sister. Okay? Obtain. Hallelujah. They obtain a good report. That's what faith gives you, a good report. When you obtain it, people say, wow, brother, you know when I began to get a good report? When I began to believe Jesus and I began to lay hand on the sick and they were healed in front of people, the report was, wow, brother, God is truly using you now. Wow, your ministry is going to grow now so much. Wow. Brother, where are you? What church are you? We want to come. God is using you to heal people. A good report was coming out. We will gather together. Let's raise hand. The power of God will come and baptize people. Oh, wow, brother, we want to come. We want to follow your ministry. Where are you, brother? Where are you? Give us an address, brother. A good report was coming out of that. Those miracles. After I was believing and Jesus was doing it, good report was following the ministry. My brother and sister. And people say, where are you? We want to come and gather together. We want to come and fellowship together. Pastor even from Ireland were contacting me to lay hand on them, to pray over the phone, over their lives. Because people was telling me of the things that God was doing. Good report was going around everywhere, my brother and sister. This is the Lord through faith that does this, a good report. That's when your good report will come about Jesus, the glory be to the Lord. When you grow in faith, you ask Jesus by faith to do something. You're sure he's going to do it. And when he does it, comes out the report. Wow, glory to the Lord, but God used you doing that. The good report will go out. And you can say, give all glory to Jesus. Amen. You stay humble. Stay humble. But good report will go everywhere you go and what God is doing, about God, how God is saving, healing, changing people. Good report is going out by faith. This is how the elder, hallelujah, obtain a good report. Everything they were doing for God by faith, God was healing, God was saving, God was delivering, God was opening doors. And people said, man, those men of God, wow. God is using them. Go and ask them for prayer. Why did people look for Elisha? Because he had obtained a good report by faith. And people knew that if he would pray over them, they will receive what he will declare over their lives. My brother and sister. So Elisha was well known. That's why when Jezebel was holding the people of Israel captive with her false teaching, they were sending messenger to Elisha, bringing report to Elisha how the people of Israel now have lost their hope in God because Jezebel has been deceiving them, hallelujah, through her false prophet. And to the word of God, when God, because this is all when God decides to, God says to Elisha, go and call the false prophets of Jezebel to the Mount Carmel. Hallelujah. And I will show them there my wonder. Call him to the mount. And Elisha made a call to all Israel and to the prophet Jezebel to come to Mount Carmel and all the people and to prove there who is the true God, my brother and sister. And when they call their God, they prepare the altar and call the God to show himself by fire. All day long, they feasted and celebrated, and nothing happened. And Elisha was making fun of them even, my brother and sister. But when Elisha said to the children of Israel, prepare the altar of the Lord for the sacrifice, and he called unto God, God answered with fire. So much fire that all the people trembled and were afraid, my brother and sister. And in that day, they ended with all the prophet, hallelujah, at Jezebel. They were killed under the sword. Notice that the army of God was there, the children of Israel, and they were not active because faith, hallelujah, that come from God was not at work in them. When faith is not active in your life, you're passive. You're seeing everything happen. You're not doing anything about it. But if you pray by faith for God to move or do something, God will do it. Elisha knew who God was because he was walking by faith, living by faith. God sent the raven with meat from the king table to bring into Elisha and feed him meat, my brother and sister, that was already cooked and prepared by the best chef of the kingdom. And they were bringing Elisha meat, and they were feeding Elisha, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. He was next to the river, had enough clean water and fresh meat cooked from the king was being brought to him by the raven, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Elisha had the best of the best. When you walk by faith with God, God will give you the best of the best. He will prepare a table, hallelujah, for you and from of your enemy, says David. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, he will. Hallelujah. It says in Psalm 23:5, thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. When the cup of everybody else, hallelujah, did not have enough wine, hallelujah, grape juice, oil, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. David had enough. Hallelujah. It was through David that God blessed Israel. It was through Solomon, his son, that God blessed Israel, that he learned from his father David. Hallelujah. His cup was running over. There was so much wine in the times of David. There was so much prosperity in the people of Israel in the time of David that they had never seen before. Slavic Egypt, brought out of Egypt through Moses and then Joshua. And they had all these judges, unto David, the first king chosen by God. Hallelujah. Because Saul was not chosen by God. Hallelujah. How this king, who imitation of Christ was almost 100%. David imitation of Jesus was almost 100%. Why? Because David walked with Jesus. David heard even the Lord says to his Lord, sit on my right hand until the enemy I set before thy feet. He heard the conversation, and you can only hear the conversation in the throne, in the third throne in heaven. That means David was taken to the third throne in heaven, next to the Father and the Son. And he heard when God says to his son, sit at the right hand, my son, until I put thy enemy under thy feet. That's how David walked with Jesus. He was being taken to heaven. My brother and sister, David was being taken to heaven. David imitated Jesus 100%. He didn't care for anybody else. Hallelujah. But he imitated the Lord 100%. While everybody was in lack, David said, thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Everybody complaining of the famine, not David. David had a table prepared by God. Hallelujah. Full of everything he liked to eat in front of his enemy. Heaven, there is no lack of anything. Never. There's a lack of anything in heaven. If you serve God, as Father says to me, in the famine that is coming, he's going to take care of his children. His children don't need to worry, he says, because he's going to supply in the famine to come and the persecution to come to this earth. God is going to take care of us. He's going to prepare a table in the presence of our enemy. Hallelujah. He can send angel with pies and food from heaven and set it on our table. And while the world and people are running back and forward, worrying, concerned for food, the price of food, no food, the economy falling, we have a table prepared by God in front of our enemy, this world. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. In our cup, where we run over, where we full of juice, we will have abundance to eat and abundance to drink. So much that it will run over. Some will spill. Running over is spilling. Some will spill because we got plenty. We're not worried of lack. Oh, you know, just drink a little because we're not going to have enough for tomorrow. No, not us. Our cups are going to run over. Don't you hear God? There will be spill in our house of how much we're going to have, God is saying. Abundance will always be with us. There's never lack in heaven. It's not like all of a sudden, after so many thousands of years, the redeemed wake up one day and say, well, wait a minute, how come we don't have nothing to drink? Nothing like that. They were laughing at me, remember, in heaven the other day. Thank you. There's no contamination ever. There's never lack. There's always abundance. And we serve in that same King, that same Lord, that same God who will take care of us. Remember the brother in New York? He didn't have enough money to buy food and pray that the Lord will provide him with food, and he'll send an angel to put bread over his table every day for him to eat. My brother and sister, the day that he will be fasting, the food will be brought to him after he finishes fasting. God knows exactly the day you fast and the day you end your fast, and he'll have it there for you. My brother and sister. But he prayed for that. He cried to the Lord. He told me how much he cried to God and said, God, if this is what you have planned for me to die, okay, let thy will be done. But you say you will supply my need. Supply me with food or I will die. And the Lord sent his angel with food and put it over his table. And he was shocked. He was on his knees crying. And as he wiping off his tears, as he getting up from the couch in his living room, wiping off his tears, when he turned to the kitchen where there was no door between the living room and the kitchen table, and look, there on the table was the empty bowl he laid down for God to provide, full of food for him to eat. The door was locked. No one could have come through the door because he is the only one to have the key to his apartment. He didn't even hear nobody opening the door neither because he lives alone. The Lord has sent his angel here to provide him with food. And he said, after he ate enough food, I'm going to do this again. And send the bowl on the table. And went on his knees to pray to God and said, God, you provided me for this day. What about this other day I don't have, Lord? When he finished his praying, got up again as he wiping his tears again, there was the bowl full of food again over his table. Supernaturally, God had begun to provide him with. When he heard me talking this way, I was in Massachusetts. We had begun the Lord's Hour. It was about a year into the Lord's Hour. He heard me preaching this message because I seen the Lord provide me supernaturally too. When I would go to do ministry in prison, we had three churches that we needed to go preach to, and even four, and five with the local church. And I didn't have the money for the gas. I only had $20 for my name for the week. That's all I have, my brother and sister. I had but one choice. The Lord was sending me, and all he was asking me was to be obedient. Obedient can go a long way. Obedient can feel a lonely, hallelujah. I wrote it down. Let me look at it quickly. What obedient feels like. Hallelujah. I wish I could put it in a book. Hallelujah. This was given to me last night in prayer. After I finished my prayer last night, my brother and sister, this came to me, and I said, you know, let me write it down. Hallelujah. Obedience feels like a lonely and unstable road. But when it's walked, it's a treasure. I have several writing like this. Obedience can feel like a lonely and unstable road. But once it's walked, it's a treasure, my brother and sister. Not many have found this treasure in the Lord yet. When God has told them to do something, they want to know how are they going to do it. God, you're sending me to the nation and I have no money, they say. You have no money, but if you have the faith, that's all you need. Faith in him. So he was sending me to do ministry, and I had no money. Left was $20 a week. Until I pay all my bills, my tithes, and everything else, $20. My brother and sister. So $20 for gas. And it was not enough to go to the places. So we began to lay hand on my car for God to fill it with oil, with gas. And so there was a day that the gauge was on E. E stands for empty. Everybody knows this. My gauge was on empty. And you're driving a BA Ford LTD 1979 I was driving, blue. You can look it up, BA. And I was an empty. You're not going to get very far with an empty car, a BA. But we stopped and laid hand and said, Lord, you told us to go do ministry. And we're being obedient, my brother Milton and I. We're being obedient, Lord. We lay hand. We were broken brokenness between is your cry. You're broken. You're like, okay, this is it. If God leaves us in the middle of the highway, Massachusetts is one of the coldest states. My brother's temperature drops below zero all the time in the winter. So it was cold. So you have to have your heat on. And we were dressed up. You put a coat over, yes, but it's cold. And if you're stranded in the middle of the highway, that's it for you. You can't even die. But the Lord is merciful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray. We turn on the car and we head home after doing ministry. Hallelujah. So Lord, keep this tank full, Lord. Fill this tank. We believe he's dead. We left. I remember coming home. Hallelujah. Going to work in the car and then picking up the pastor. Here's the thing. When you believe something and your faith is tested, pastor calls me on the cell phone, Brother Ovi, we have this family that want to come to church, that call. Can you go and pick them up in your car? I could have said, Pastor, I had no money. But he'll say sometimes, I had nobody else to go do so. I need you to go do it, Brother Ovi. Okay, Pastor. Travel to another city to pick up a family to bring them to the service. And the same gas that the Lord had provided. So all week long, I had to go to work and go to church and help this family. Bring them to church, bring them back home again for miles after miles. The car never stopped. The tank was still full, my brother and sister. I remember that after we prayed one time, I was, you know, it's one of those days where the enemy is telling you, you better stop for God because you have none. You better stop after doing ministry. So I was worried and concerned. Someone gave us on the highway $20 for helping this lady to put up a tire. She had a flat tire and would help us. So she gave us $20. We took it. When we went to the gas station on that BA to put gas, you know, when your tank is full and you're trying to pump gas, and I'm thinking, this tank has to be bad. There's something wrong with my tank because I'm putting the gas in there. I'm trying to put the gas, and it's telling me that it's full. And I'm looking at my brother, and my brother's sitting on the passenger side. My brother, Milton, I said, Brother Milton, come over here. There's something wrong with this gas tank. So what do you mean? Either the pump is bad or the car is something wrong with the tank. He says, what do you mean? Are you putting gas in the car? What are you doing? We want to get out. We're already tired. We've been doing ministry. Can we just get home? I said, come and see, brother. I'm trying to put gas, and the pump is telling me it's full. It's just kicking it back. You know, it kicks it back. You're trying to put gas. It's kicking it back. I said, this is a BA. Of course it needs gas. It was full. And we look at each other. All you want to do is cry. Because sometimes we look, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we question. Some people say, you're human. It was full. I mean, running up and down and the tank was still full. How can it be? My brother and sister, he does think that, man, you say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to sit down and talk with him about this. Because he didn't let me know he did it. We pray and he did it. Simply do he did it. He just do it. He doesn't need anybody. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father had looked at my face. The Lord had looked at my face. And what he says to me? I'm in control, he says. And I have to bow my head and yes. He had proven it to me with undeniable proof. I have had undeniable proof that God is real. How can any day I say God is not real? I have undeniable proof. He had proved to me he is real. Because when I said, I need this, he provides it in a supernatural way if he needs to. If he doesn't touch someone and say, provide this to my son, he'll provide it supernaturally. Like, wow, this is incredible. Be awesome. We serve such an awesome God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness shall follow you. You follow Jesus. Jesus follow you. And what's following you? Goodness. His goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. When you follow Jesus. When you follow him, his goodness and mercy will follow you when? How many days a week? 3 days a week? 60 days? 100 days? You tell me. But I'm going to tell you what his word says. All the days of your life. But wait a minute, Broly. What about when I'm being tested, when I'm going through this? You're just being tested. You're just going through something. What happened when my car breaks down? You said, go into a test. What happened when I get fired in my job? You're being promoted. Huh? I said this to someone one day. Sister contacted me. Oh, Brother Elvie, I'm not going to be able to send you my offering, Brother Elvie. You're not going to believe what happened. They let me go in my job. And I don't know. I got bills to pay, brother. I don't know. Would you please pray that God provide me with a job? That God please supply me, Brother Elvie, because, this is my only income, Brother Elvie. I don't know what I'm going to do, Brother Elvie. And she said, I said, sister, don't you think that the Lord might be promoting you? Huh? What do you mean, brother? I don't understand what you're saying, Brother Elvie. Can you explain to me? Sister, you may be promoted. You're probably being promoted. Huh? Like that didn't make no sense to her. Go ahead. I'll date your resume. And send it in. We'll pray. Fast, please. Yes, brother. Yes. I'm really desperate. I barely have any saving, Brother Elvie. My saving is very low. I really need this job. Couple of weeks back, she's probably a couple of weeks, she emailed me. Oh, Brother Elvie. And I say, because I said to her, please make sure that when you update your resume and you apply for a job, apply for a job that will pay you more, not the same. But Brother Elvie, I only know how to do this and that. I don't know how to do much. My resume is very little. You know, my education is just not there, brother. Sister, you serve the Lord now. Apply for a job that will pay you more. At least $2 or $3 more. Or five, you want $5 more? Because you could do that too. Okay, $3 more, brother. Let it be done according to thy faith, Jesus said. All the time. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal. People encounter Jesus in Jerusalem. He's walking. He is God. He's in control of their lives. Lord, will you please, Lord, you know I'm blind, Lord. Jesus, let it be done according to thy faith. Bam, the blind eye were open. The ear knocking here. Hosanna to the Son of David. And Jesus like, these are the promise of God. Why are you surprised? Hallelujah. These are the promise of God. And so, then we pray together. Sister, we pray in agreement, fast in agreement. 2 weeks later, she has sent her resume. She's still all nervous. So just trust the Lord. The Lord will take care of you. She got called for an interview. Brother Hovey, keep me in prayer. I got called for an interview. You know, this is an office job. This will give me so much freedom for me to pray, read my Bible, because it's an office job, not like the one I was doing before. This gives me the weekend off. You know, I had so much time off, but it's more money, brother. $3 more. You know, I don't have all that experience, brother. Trust the Lord, sister. Trust the Lord. Okay? What did the Lord say? See that the Lord is God. When he got all those 5 million people out of Asia to bring them into the wilderness, see that the Lord is God. You need to see now. If you haven't, you need to see that the Lord is God now. Thank you, Lord. She goes for an interview. She's all nervous. She's so scared. She sat there. that she's being interviewed. They didn't even ask much question. They shook the hand and said, the job is yours. Can you come to the job every day? Yes, I'll be there. But we need you to start right away on Monday. She's like, huh? Well, she needed the money quick, and the job now needed her to start quickly. I'll be here Monday. Of course, yes. She's loving her job. $3 more. So when she thought she was being demoted, she was being promoted. When she thought she lost, she was winning. That's how it's to walk by faith. When you walk by faith and not by sight, when the devil is like he's making you lose, no, you're not. No, you are not. You are actually winning. She was, this job, you know, I've been there for years, you know, and this is all I know how to do. Sister, the Lord will take care of you. The Lord will take care of you. $3 more promoted. When she thought she was losing, she lost her job. What am I going to do? Now she had the extra money. Hallelujah. Now she had the extra money. My brother and sister, $200-$300 more a week. Thank you, Lord. When she thought she was losing, God was actually promoting her. But the way God was promoting her, where God was doing it, the way her faith was being tested, it was a simple test of faith that God was doing. But if you don't stay focused on Jesus, that simple test of faith seems to you like your world is falling. Oh, my world is falling. How am I going to pay this? But when you're walking by faith and not by sight, then you're trusting that the Lord is taking care of you. When the world seems that they're losing, you're actually winning. Who gets a great job in a bad economy? Who gets a great job when professional, with PhD and all kinds of college degrees are sending the application for this job? And someone who doesn't have that getting the job. Someone who's just trusting the Lord, fasting and praying, gets the job. And this other person who has so much experience, so much degree, is not getting it. Who does this? The Lord. Because he's prepared a table in front of your enemy. That table was prepared for her, not for your enemy. That table was prepared for his children. See, there's table prepared for you. You don't see it. You don't see it. You want to sit at the table with the Lord and eat? You need to walk by faith. What obedience feels like? Obedience feels like a lonely and unstable road. But when one says walk, it's a treasure. I thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, faith seems impossible until you believe a little. Hope feels unreachable, but conquered by those who's finished the race. Time feels endless, but passes away. Run the race to the end. God in heaven look far away. Listen to this one. God in heaven look far away, but it's closer than everything. A Christian life is a daily struggle, but full of benefits. God promises change everything, but it's not affected by anything. Thank you, Jesus. He is faithful. Faithful him who sit on the throne. If you don't have the faith, ask him. If you don't have the faith, Jesus has it. He wants to give it to you. He will turn your life on fire for him. If you ask. I didn't understand that by me begging for faith in the area of my life that I needed, when he began to touch me, he was turning me on fire for him. My lack of faith was my lack of him. My lack of him being in my life the way I always wanted him to, or the way he wanted to be in my life, that I never saw him because I was not walking by faith in those areas of my life. But when you surrender to him and you totally depend on him in every area of your life, and you say, Lord, in this area, Lord, I am weak. I doubt you, Lord. And I don't want to doubt you, Lord. I don't want to offend you anymore. Remember, he's a gentleman. He gets offended too, especially by our behavior and our doubt and our unbelief. He doesn't like to see that in us. He doesn't like us see us struggling. But then because of pride, we don't pray. We don't ask. He wants us that when we're struggling, we say, Lord, help me. Lord, I cannot make it through this unless you help me, Jesus. That's what I said to him last week when I felt my body dying and there's nothing I can do. He put me in a place that I would totally have to surrender and said, Lord, I cannot make it unless you help me through this. And when he touched me, it changes everything. I knew my health was back. He was holding me. All the time he was holding me. My brother and sister. He's in control. Remember a few months ago when he allowed me to cross through the door into heaven, where people on earth, when they cross the door, they never return back to the earth, unless it's the millennium. I crossed the door. I was walking toward heaven, but I decided to turn back. He was still at the door because he is the door. And I turned back. He was there waiting for me. He's always there. And I said, Lord, send me back. And he says to me, you already crossed the door. Stay here. Why don't you stay here and rest, he says. I said, Lord, the people on the earth, my brothers and sisters, no one is teaching about this coronavirus thing. And people are taking it daily. And some of my brothers and sisters will take it. Lord, if you don't send me back. And I said to him, Lord, how many of your servants are telling them not to take this by seeing, telling them the dangers that by seeing? I told him, you revealed to me the dangers that by seeing, Lord. And I had told my brothers and sisters. And I knew he wanted me to tell you more about it. I said, Lord, how many of your servants are telling them about this? And he was quiet in this regard. I could hear in his voice that he wanted me to care. Every time you care like him, he cares. He cares for his children like nobody else. I noticed in his voice he had difficulty talking to me. Because I just touched my brother and sister, the apple of his eyes, his children. His children he loved so much that he died on the cross for them. And when I said, Lord, I want to come back and warn them from you. Send me back, please. Then he allowed me to. Hallelujah. Yes. They're shredding from by seeing people making numb, by seeing people sick. Yes. All these things are happening. Believe it or not, all this is part of the testing and trial that we need to go through. In this time of testing and trial, Jesus wants you to trust on him like you never trusted on him before. The problem with us is pride. Instead of depending on Jesus, my brother and sister, we're trying to find another way. There's no other way. There's no other name in which we can be saved but the name of Jesus. We need to learn to depend on him even in this area. Tell the Lord that you will never take the by sin with his help. And for him to help you, never to want to take it and to keep you from it 100%. Be honest with him. Tell him how you feel. Tell him you don't want to take it. Tell him that him is the only one you want to serve, that he's your only God, and that to you there is no other God but him. Thank you, Lord, that you just want to come to heaven and be with him. Tell him how you feel. He wants to hear from you. That's why he said to Sister Barbara, he wants to hear from us. That is humility. He's available for you and I in 24 hours. We are the one that don't make available ourselves to him 24 hours. Hallelujah. The more you are tested, the more you are being made white. If you were not being tested, okay, sin will be all over you. But the more he's putting you through the tests and the trial, as it says in Daniel 12, you're being made white. You're being made in his image. You're being cleansed. Hallelujah. Surrender to him completely. Tell him in prayer, Lord, I surrender my life. Lord, I surrender all that I want to you. You be my number one need, Lord. Have you made Jesus your only number one need or want in your life? That everything else falls in second, third, last place, not even close to Jesus. That he's the only one need that you have. Tell him. Ask him for help. Lord, help me to be holy. Lead me righteous. Help me to keep your commandment, Lord. Tell him. Ask him for help. Thank you, Jesus. If your trial is becoming hard, ask him for peace in your trial. Say, Lord, give me your peace, not like the world give it, but the way you say you give it. Lord, give me your peace, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ask him for it. Ask him for his shalom. Thank you, Lord, in prayer. Pray for the things that will give you peace and joy in him. Ask him for joy. Ask him for more of his Holy Spirit in your life. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for putting my feeling first, my need first, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. All I need is you first. Begin to pray. Put him first in your life, even in your need. And he is your bread and he is your water. He's the water of life. He's the bread of life. What you need to live is bread and water, right? Man shall not live by bread and water alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of God's mouth. He is your every word. He is your every breath every day. Ask him to be that in your life, that he will be the only thing you need. Man, when he reveals to you this way, you will have total peace and joy in your life. You will not worry. The things that you think you need, hallelujah, all you need is Jesus. If you feel lonely, you need more Jesus. That's all you need. It's not that you need a woman or a man if you're lonely. It's that you need more Jesus. You can have a woman or a man in your life that supposedly for you not to feel lonely and still feel lonely. Still feel lonely because there's a loneliness in your heart that can only be filled by the Lord. Okay? How many women are dating several men and feel lonely? How many women are married and still feel lonely? Because there is a need in you of God that can only be filled by Jesus, not by a man. You will never be meant to be filled by a man or a woman, but only God himself. Okay? If God wants you to be married, God will provide that person into your life. Okay? He will provide it. He will bring it. But when he wants you to focus on him, for him to feel your loneliness in your life, and for you not to feel lonely anymore. Okay? Thank you, Lord. You will be more happy when he brings someone into your life after the Lord has filled your loneliness. You are lonely because you need more of him. He has not filled the part in your heart and mind that he wants to fill in you yet. You have not given yourself completely to him. Even though sometimes we say, yes, David said, Lord, search me, Lord. Search me, Lord, David prayed. Hallelujah. Search me, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Because only the Lord knows our heart. Only the Lord knows the inside of us. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secret of the heart. Who knows the secret of your heart? That you want someone else to fill, but not the Lord, a person. You want a person to fill something that only God can fill. Why do people have so many failed relationships? Because they're seeking from a person to fill something that only God can fill. Why there's so many, even marriage problems? Because you're trying for your man to feel something that God wants to feel. Or you're trying for your wife to feel something that only the Lord can feel. And you can argue all day long with your partner. How come you don't do this? How come you don't bite me this? How come you don't give me this? How come you don't say this? You're trying to seek something that only the Lord can feel in you from another person. And that never works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. David said in Psalm 139:1, oh, Lord, thou searchest me and knowest me. See? Who knows you? The Lord. He knows you. In the intimacy, in the deepness of your heart and life, he's the only one that knows you. Your husband, your wife cannot get there. They can give you the sweetest word. And you still end up arguing with them because you're asking them to feel something that only the Lord can. Possible for them to do what you're asking them. But if you ask the Lord, hallelujah. Listen, Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So much thoughts been going through your mind and heart. Questioning whether she loves you or whether he loves you. But the Lord truly loves you. And there's no question once you are in his love. Once his love is all over you, there's no more question of that. He will fill all your inner thoughts, all your heart, desire. He will fill them completely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If thou seeker her, Solomon said about wisdom, which is Jesus, if thou seeker her as silver and searcher for her as for hidden treasure, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward part of his being. Are you listening? Your spirit is the candle of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are in his menorah, his lampstand. As a candle in his throne. He searches all the inward part of your being. Everything that there is to know about you, Jesus knows it. When you totally surrender to him, when you totally are completely given unto him, he fills every need in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Okay? A need in your spirit or in your soul can manifest also in your body because you have not completely given yourself to the Lord as he wants you to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. He wants you to give yourself completely to him, to let him search you in the inner part of you, inward part, the Bible says. That's the deepest part of you. Hallelujah. That you can give to any other thing or giving it to other things, but not God. But if you do give it to God, you will be changed in the world, inwardly, body, soul, and spirit. And then your life is full of God, peace, joy. Hallelujah. Who have put wisdom in the inward part? Job 38:36. And who have given understanding to the heart? God. This is one of Job's questions when he was being tested and going to trial. He wondered about these things. Okay? Because he was seeking for joy, peace like everybody else. And God is the only one that can give that. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Psalm 51:6. Behold, thou desire truth in my inward part. In the hidden part, thou should make me to know wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Even wisdom in that inside of you, that whenever you're going through whatever you're going through, the word that you need comes out of your own mouth. Because inwardly, God has poured wisdom in you. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And a lot of time you'll be in your bed meditating after prayer, and he's just putting out his wisdom with you. And wisdom and revealing these things, you're like, wow. He revealed himself through wisdom. And when you see him and know him, you say, Lord, that's you. Yeah, that's him. In a special way, in a mighty way, untold, unheard, unknown, to reveal to you in a special way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has so much for us. So much. Hallelujah. But this, says Jeremiah 31:33, but this should be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in the inward part and write in the heart, and will be their God, and they should be my people. The work of God in your life is inward, in the inside. That's the mightiest work that God is doing in our life. Why? Because that is the one that lasts forever. When God changes you in the inside completely, everything else falls together. Or follow is the word, not fall. Follows together. Works together, the Bible says, to them that love him. All things work together to them that love him. All works together. When you're being changed inside, your relationship with him is growing and growing. Have you seen the Lord in the private of you and him? Yet. You will. He will reveal himself to you. See, he's not hiding from you. Jesus is not hiding from you. Remember when he says to me, I saw him. Why do my children think I'm hiding myself from them? Because he wants to reveal himself to you. Why do they think I'm hiding myself from them? When I reveal myself to them, that comes to him. If you come to him with all your heart, see, here's the thing. The south part of this earth is that we have learned to lie. We have learned to act. How do we learn to act, Brother Elvie? You know what the Bible calls acting? Hypocrite. We have learned through Hollywood to be hypocrite, acting. When you sit on your television and you're watching a movie and you watch these people acting, you're learning through them to be hypocrite. That's what that word acting means, hypocrite, in the original language. So you learn to be hypocrite. But when you search out hypocrite in the Bible, it's something that displeases the Lord. Someone told me this. He had a brother that since he was little, he gave his life to Jesus. And all he did was read the Bible. He never had a desire to watch television, to go to the mall, to have a cell phone, to all the other brothers and sisters wanted to stay on the television, watch cartoon. No, he wanted to be reading his Bible. And when he was, I believe, 31, Jesus spoke to him and said, "You're coming home with me." And he said goodbye to all the family. And he went home with Jesus. His brother was telling me this about him, that the Lord took home. But one thing he saw about him was all he wanted to do, he never liked to watch television, thought it was a waste of time, that his time was to be spent with the Lord. And that's what he did. If you invite him, "Let's go fishing." No. "You go fishing. I'll read my Bible. I'll pray. I'll go to the Lord and pray. I'll spend time with the Lord." "Let's go to the mall." No. That's a waste of time. I'll spend time with the Lord. Anything people like to go out and do and have fun, and not him. He just wanted to spend time with the Lord. So when the Lord told him, "You're coming home with me," he went and told the family. Some people were like, "Is he serious?" No. He went and laid down. The Lord took him. That was it. My brother and sister. His brother was telling me about his testimony as his brother, how he was always like that with the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He understood what it is to spend time with the Lord, how valuable it is. A lot of us haven't yet completely. And that the enemy uses what you have that is not of God in your heart and life that he can use to manipulate or to try to get to you. If you're watching crime movie and violence is in your mind, the devil will use that to give you a nightmare, to give you bad dreams. You see? If you watch movie where there's adultery and fornication and killing, those are the things that the devil will use against you. Anything sinful and evil that you like to entertain yourself with, the devil can use that against you. But if you only spend time with the Lord, reading his word, searching the Lord out, seeking the Lord every day, repenting every day, those problems that the majority of the people have, you will not have. They will have it, but not you, because you're only spending time with him. Okay? My brother and sister, we still have not seen the contamination that is on this earth. And it's great contamination. God never meant for your life to be bored. You can go out and raise chicken if you have a piece of land. You can have a cat. You can have a dog. You can have things that it will entertain your brain. You can have a godly job. Some people pray for a godly job. When was the last time you prayed for a godly job? Have you asked the Lord and said, "Lord, at my next job, Jesus, I'm going to fast and pray that you will give me a godly job, that my job will be to please you only, Lord, where I will share your word, where I will lead people to you, where I can talk about you in freedom, Lord." You'll be shocked with how the Lord will provide you with that job. See? Every time you seek something to please the Lord and ask for it, you're going to find out he's going to give it to you. And it will give you more joy and more peace to spend time with the Lord than anything else. Why people are confused sometimes? Why Christians are confused sometimes? Because they're trying to mix light with darkness. If they follow the example of Father in Genesis 1, God separated darkness from light. If you leave darkness and light together, that brings confusion. But when you separate darkness from light, there's no confusion. There's no confusion. When there's only light, there's no confusion. When there's only light, there's no confusion. I'll give you another example. Some people that have died and went to hell, the demon of confusion that been in their life during the time they've been alive, when they go to hell, the demon separates himself from them. And they're not confused anymore. And the demon, then they say to the demon, you've been in my life all these years bothering me. Oh, not anymore. Person is not confused, going to hell now. You see, you can open the door for demons to be in your life. But if you only want the Lord and the Holy Spirit in your life, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you can just only have that. And he'll protect you from demons. My brother and sister. Amen for that, the Lord's servant. The Lord gave her a job that pays more. Amen. There you go. You see? My brother and sister. He can do so. The same way the Lord provides you a job, he can provide you a place for you to work for him. The same way you ask him for a car, he provided you a car. The same way he can increase your faith. Oh, you really needed a job and you wanted to have, you really needed a card and you wanted to have a card and you fasted and prayed and the Lord provided you that card. Same thing, you could ask the Lord to give you faith as high as a mustard seed. With the same effort that you asked the Lord to provide you the card, you would have asked the Lord to provide you with faith. You would have faith instead of a card and you could have had a lot more. Hello, someone. See, it's what you value. God is not going to force you to serve him. The thing is that people value things that really are vanity, then the things will last forever. See, if you ask the Lord to increase your faith, you will have that through eternity. You have great faith. See? If you ask the Lord to increase his presence in your life, you will have that through eternity. You're not going to have your car for eternity. You're not going to have a great job for eternity. You're not going to have a good bank account for eternity. But you can have an awesome relationship with God, with Jesus, through eternity. We need to learn to value the things of God and put them in their place in our lives. What is your priority? To have a great paying job? To have a great bank account? Or to put money in the bank in heaven and have great treasure in heaven where no one can, no thief can steal it, Jesus said. Prioritize God in your life. Prioritize. Yes, he can provide you with a great job. Yes, he can. He can provide you with a great job. Yes, he can. Hallelujah. Give you more of him into your life, more of his spirit, more of the Holy Spirit, more of his gifts. He took activity captive, Ephesians 4, and gave gifts unto men. A lot of people don't even know what those gifts are. Paul said to the church in Romans that he will go that they will have gifts so they will be more stable. Gift makes you more stable in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. More stable in your faith. More stable in your walk. In your relationship with him. Thank you, Lord. The more of him, the less of you, and the more happy and joyful you will be. If you feel lonely, you need more of him. If you feel... And the Lord has made us that we need one another. We pray for one another. Yes, it's good to spend time with one another. But a lot of time, the time that we spend with one another, especially in these last days, we lack spending time with the Lord. My brother and sister. And then when the Lord says, my children, I want to hear from you, you have not been... Jesus said, ask and thou shalt receive. And then he said to his disciples, until now you have asked me nothing. That means you have a lack of prayer. Hallelujah. Then You ask the Lord to give you wisdom on how to deal with them. Thank you, Lord. If there's someone in your family coming against you, ask the Lord to help you to deal with them. And the Lord will give you the wisdom. The Lord will show you the way. The Lord will work in a way until unheard in your life. And he can do it in the life too, but hallelujah. A lot of times, something that bothers me doesn't bother you because the Lord already worked that in your life, but now it's working in mine. See? It thinks that the Lord is working in our life on how to be patient, how to be loving, how to be caring. See? How to reach others, how to talk to others, how to understand others. He's working these things in us. We're being made white in all this area of our lives. But a lot of time we're not willing. Oh, I won't take that. I won't take the nonsense. I'm not going to deal with this. No, no way. I want to cut this off. Well, God wants you to deal with it. And he'll help you. And the things that we don't know about, things in our lives that bothers us, that we don't want to deal with, when we seek him out and he teaches us, then he gives us more joy and peace in that. And then we say, man, it's always better to go to the Lord about everything and anything. Because he knows how to deal with people. He knows how to take care of people. He knows everything. We don't know. Sometimes we are impatient. A lot of time we don't want to wait. If I ask you, oh, you need to wait a year or two for that, you say, no, why do I need to wait? I don't want to wait. See, we're so impatient. But even in the waiting process, he'll teach you. Ask him to teach you in the waiting process. Lord, I've been praying for this, Lord, and you have not given it to me, Lord, and I know you will. Teach me to learn in the waiting process, Lord. Whatever you want me to learn in this waiting process, teach me to learn, Lord. I want to learn. What is it that I'm missing in this waiting process? It will only take the children of Israel 1 month to make it to the promised land directly. But God had them going in circle. Why? Why? Excuse me. Why did God have them going in circle for 40 years if it only would take them a month to get there? Because God was working with them on personal relationship with him. And they were never willing. They was like, my way or the highway, God. God, if you don't do it this way, don't bother me. That was the attitude with the children of Israel. God said to Moses, prepare the people so they can come to the mountain tomorrow. They can come to the mountain, prepare them. That means they will have to fast. They will have to wash their clothing. In Exodus, read it. And when God came to the mountain, and they saw that great presence of God, overwhelming presence of God. Moses, you speak for us, Moses. You speak for us, Moses. That's the same thing people do today. Brother, can you go to the Lord and ask the Lord this for me? Brother, will you pray? Or anybody else. When the Lord wants you to go to him. I have someone doing this to me a lot, and I talked to the Lord about this. The Lord says, tell him that he can come and ask me himself. Tell him to come and ask me himself. Because, see, the Lord is teaching you personal relationship with him. If you keep asking someone else to do it for you, you are not working on your personal relationship with him. If you're asking someone else to do it for you. And that's what the Lord wants you to come to him. So you can learn from him personal relationship. My brother and sister. See? The children of Israel spent 40 years going around. It could have been 1 month. They turned 1 month walk into 40 years. How many of us does the same? Something that could have taken maybe a year walking with the Lord, knowing Jesus, seeing Jesus, talking to Jesus, it takes you longer. Because instead of you taking the time to spend the time with him, talking to him, and asking him to reveal himself to you directly, My brother and sister, I remember when I cried to him, I said, Lord, I don't want men between him and I wanted him to speak to me, not through men. Because I have people say, thou sayest the Lord, Brother Elvie, you go ahead, he said it. They'll give me a word, amen, for that. But I wanted to hear it from the Lord. And I began to fast and pray. I said, Lord, you came to Abraham in the middle of the day. He will come to his servant directly, not through prophet or servant, directly to them at any time. Jesus came to Abraham, I believe it's Genesis 17, in the middle of the day. My brother and sister, and talked to Abraham. Hallelujah. Genesis 19 with two angels. Directly. No, Mary, nobody in between. He was talking to Jesus face to face. The angel of the Lord, that was Jesus Christ. He talked to Noah directly, face to face. God had talked to Moses face to face, to Isaac, to Jacob face to face. They saw God. They spoke. This is one thing the early church used to say. God spoke to them face to face. There was no one in the middle between them and God. They were talking to God directly. He wants to do the same thing with you and I. He spoke to Peter and Matthew and all of them face to face. My brother insisted. And he went and told them to come and preach to us, that his word will come to us, and he will reveal himself to us. I will reveal myself to them, he says, to the disciple. That's you and I. Now, Jesus wants to speak with you face to face. Not a messenger, not an Elvie in between, not nobody in between. He wants to speak to you face to face. The question is, are you willing? Do you want him to? Do you want him? Okay? Have you said, Lord, what is it that you want me to do so you can talk to me directly, Lord? I'm willing to do it. You're serving, Lord. Talk to me in a dream, in a vision. What is it that you want me to do so you will come to me face to face? I remember Brother Larry wanted God to speak to him. He kept asking me. Then I asked the Lord. And I believe it was one time, if I remember, that God wanted to speak with Brother Larry, but he needed to fast and pray. He was asking me how long. And I said, just go do it. Go into fasting and prayer. He will show you how long. I didn't hear from him for about a week or more. He was fasting. He told his wife, he agreed with his wife, that he will be fasting and praying. For a whole week, we will usually talk every other day or sometime every day. And not hearing from him for a week was a little bit strange. But I knew that he was fasting, so I didn't want to bother him. I said, I don't want to disturb him if he's seeking God. This is something he needs to do with God. And fasting after a week, he began to hear God. The voice of God came to him. He had several dreams that week in which God was telling him he was going to talk to him through the dreams. Brother Larry did not stop there. He didn't want it. After a week, he didn't want to start fasting and praying, crying out. He was crying like a baby in his house to God, crying to God. And he told God, I want you to speak to me. Not to Brother Elvie, not through a man. I want you to talk to me. He told God. My brother insisted. And the Lord spoke to him. Finally heard the Lord. My brother and sister, these were months after we met each other. Months. Praise the Lord. And he was fasting more than a week. He never fasted no more than one day or two. No more than one day, I believe, his testimony. But he was this time no food, no water for more than a week. He had lost several pounds. But he was still crying out to God and told his wife. His wife, after a week, wanted him to eat, give up the fasting. you know, give the fasting up and then eat. He said, please understand, this is important. God giving me a dream. He's going to talk to me directly. I need to continue this. I'm too excited now. I'm too hype up. He's full of joy. He kept going. And God spoke to him. In that dream, he heard him. He said, will you speak to me directly? I want to hear your voice. And God told him what to do afterward. If you want me to talk with you, you must live for me, God says, separated from all these things the world that people likes to do. And I will talk to you, my son. And it began to be so beautiful that when he contacted me and told me what happened, the joy of him on the phone and the presence of God was very powerful. My brother and sister, I heard him, Brother Elvie. Father spoke to me. He spoke to me, Brother Elvie. So excited, like a child with a candy. So excited. He spoke to me, Brother Elvie. I finally heard him. Now I can hear him. I can hear him now. He can tell me now. I can ask him. He'll talk back to me. This is so exciting, Brother Elvie. I'm so glad, Brother Larry. You see, I can talk with the Almighty. So exciting. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Don't worry, brother. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. He's so awesome. He can hear the Lord and he can hear the Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. But he knew that in the process of him wanting to hear Father, Jesus was helping him. He also heard from the Holy Spirit, too. He learned to hear his voice, too, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. And there was a thing he was telling me later on where I was going through trial. Sometimes I would be in tested really hard, and I was in pain. I was going through a lot. My trial was so hard, so hard. But I didn't want to give up because Jesus kept coming to me and talking to me in my dreams. And I was asking the Lord for help. And then the Lord said to Brother Larry, ask the Holy Spirit to comfort you, the comforter, through the testing. And that's something I didn't remember nothing. When you're in a trial sometimes, it's like you become blind to a lot of things. Sometimes you focus too much on the problem instead of the Lord. And I was learning not to do that like normal Christians do that. Sometimes they go into a trial and they think it's the end of the world. It's like nuclear weapons are going off in their house and their life. And everything is being destroyed. And this is the end of the life. And then the trial ends and finishes. And then like, okay, I'm back. I'm awesome. Oh, God, it's so good. Thank you. Let me go to the church. I was one of those that thought that a trial was the end of my life. This is it. I'm not going nowhere. This is it. Like nuclear weapon were going off in my living room, in my house. And hello, someone. And it was just a test. The Father ordered through the Lord. Then the Lord began to explain this to me. My Father gives me the test for my children, his children. And I bring in and I minister the test. Each one of you, the Lord began to explain to me one day. I gave you the trial, but some of you, the majority of you, don't pass your testing, the trial, because you begin to cry like children, and I have to take it away. But it's God who ordained the testing. Instead of asking me to help you go to the trial and the testing, you begin to complain and murmur. And you say you cannot do it anymore, and I have to take it away from you. And then it's like your life wants to goes back to normal, but it's not normal. What I want to give you will change your life and make you better off. The Lord was explaining, Jesus was explaining this to me. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, Lord, that we do this, Lord. Lord, help me to this test. He says, I give you my children the test. And every time I give them the test, the Father ordained for them, for their life, where they're going to be changed for the better, they begin to murmur and complain. And I have to take it away from them all the time. And until you finish this test, I got to bring it back to you again and back to you again. Some of you have bringing it hundreds of times and more, thousands of times, and you keep failing the test. Because every time I bring it back to you, you murmur and complain. And you tell me you cannot do it anymore, so I have to take it. And because this has been ordained for your life, that if you ask me for help, I will help you through and you pass it. And then you move on through another test in which they all will bring you closer to me. And I will be more, I will reveal to you through them. I reveal myself to my children through this trial and this testing. But you are not willing to do the trial and testing, to go through them. You tell me you cannot. And when I see you struggling so much, I take it because I will not give you more than you can bear. And the reason that you can bear them, because you're not asking me for help, he says. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Forever complaining about a test and trial that you have given me, Lord, from Father. I'm so sorry, Lord. And he says, why didn't you ask me to help you, my son? If you, my children, will ask me for help, I will help you. And you will pass the test. And I began, yeah, I was crying, yes, Lord, I'm so sorry, Lord. I don't want to be like everybody else complaining and murmuring about the test. Help me, Lord, to pass it. Please, Lord. And he was saying with such a loving, caring, explaining these things to me, after fasting and praying, that I said, Lord, please help me, Lord. I don't want to murmur. Like the children of Israel, I don't want to complain, Lord. If you give me the test and I find no harm, please help me, Lord. And there was a test. He gave me a test. I asked him for help. I passed the test. He gave me another test. And I'm begging him, please, Lord, help me. It was hard. It was difficult again. And he gave me another test. Every time he began to give me the test and he helped me pass, oh, something was breaking in my life, in my soul, and in my spirit. My brother and sister, something was breaking. My brother and sister, in my life, something from this world was coming out from me. Every time he helped me pass a test, he revealed himself to me in a special way. Every single time. Every time I passed the harder test, brought me the closer to him until I began to see him. After every test, I began to see him, and he was talking to me like a friend. Oh, it felt so good. That's when I said, wow, this is the Christian life, to see Jesus and talk to Jesus. I love this. This is awesome. But I look back thinking of the test and trial that I gone through, and I said, I don't know if many people will be willing to go through them. Because each and one of us, the testing and trial is different. And a lot of them are things that we don't like to do. You don't like to be insulted. You don't like to be cursed by anyone, do you? That's part of your test and trial. Imagine when your children curse you, or your husband, or your wife, or your uncle, or your mother, your father. You don't want to sit there and take it, because he wants you to. What did he do when they curse him? When they spit at him? When they parched them, what did Jesus do? What did Isaiah 53:3 say that he do? When they mocked him, when they made fun of him. What did he do? He opened not his mouth. He couldn't say Allah. Oh, you're going to hear me now, we say. Oh, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. No. No. Remember Jesus in his test. He went through the biggest trial of life. You know what one of the biggest things about Jesus in his trial is that everything he went through, he was innocent. And in the court of God, and in the court of humanity, and the world court, if you want to call it, he was not guilty. How do you plead? Not guilty. Jesus was not guilty at all. My brother and sister, there was not a single proof of him breaking the law. Not a single proof. And he has to be quiet while they beat on him. While they put the crown of thorn in his head, and those thorns went through his flesh.
and make him bleed. He opened not his mouth. My brother and sister. Okay? That was his trial. The biggest of all. He's the greatest example. Learn of me, he said, who is humble and meek and hard. When he would take me to heaven, I would see him. He would be talking to me. I didn't want to blink. Oh, I hope hoping that my eye will not betray me and have me blink. When I see Jesus, I don't want to blink for a second. If I blink, I'm wasting time, my brothers and sisters. I just want to enjoy his presence. Oh, he is so awesome. He is so awesome. Oh, my heart cried just to be in eternity looking at him, being with him, walking with him as my friend, as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. He is. I thank you, Jesus. He worthy to be praised. He is so awesome. He opened not his mouth. How many times have you answered back of those that are insulting you, cursing you, coming against you? How many back have you insulted them? Not being like Christ at that moment. When we're supposed to be like right Christian. And the moment you answer back, you're not like Christ. You stop being a Christian. Are you listening? And the moment you respond back, oh, this is not right. I'm going to let them have it. You're not being Christian.
90 seconds.
You're acting like the world. You're not acting like Christ. Christ remained quiet. He opened not his mouth. That's what you and I are supposed to do. And pray in our mind and heart, Lord, help me to pass this test, Lord. Lord, help me overcome this. Lord, they're coming against me, Lord. I haven't done nothing bad to them, Lord. But help me to overcome this, Jesus. Help me to overcome this, Lord. Help me to be like you, what you would do, Lord. Help me to be an example like you.
60 seconds.
Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Because without you, Jesus, there is nothing I can do, Lord. Help me. Help me, mighty Lord. Help me, mighty Jesus. God willing, we'll be back on Tuesday night.
Shalom. People are striving for many things. Gifts, talents, prophecies, power, relationships, money, ministries, education, recognition. Things that are considered accomplishments in both the physical realm and religious circles. But not many are striving for mature love. I have told you in Scripture that everything hangs on love. Everything. But far too many of my people have very little love in them for one another or for me. It is written that without faith it is impossible to please me. It is also impossible without love. I made you in my image, my likeness, and in that image you will find at the very heart of who I am is love. Beyond every gift I am, beyond every talent I have, and I have them all, you will find love. Love is my very nature. It is the power behind all that directs me. It is the driving force of every decision I make. Love is not something I created or strive to give. Love is who I am, and who I am and what I do is because of who I am. Every decision I make is made because I am love. Every gift I give, every correction, every command, everything I create, all of it is because I am love. I am love. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of my throne. My love is the substance of my righteousness. It is the substance of my righteousness. It is the gavel of my justice. My love is what makes it possible for me to be long-suffering with my creation who are striving to enter love. My love is at the heart of everything I say or do. My love is not something I create. It is who I am. In your present state of mortality, you cannot fully grasp the enormity of my love, but you are called to walk in the understanding you have been given regarding it until you grow and are capable of greater awareness of what love is and does. I have given you many proofs of what it means to love. There is a trail of my love all throughout Scripture. Do you know that I want you to search those pages to find that trail? It leads you to me and the very purpose for your existence. It tells the story of my love and the faithfulness of my commitment to remain in my covenants and commitments to my words and promises to my people. It tells of the fierce passion of protection that I jealously guard to keep what I call mine safe from the destructive forces that would consume my creation if I did not keep them. Woven into every story you read in my scriptures, you will find my love if you will only search deeply enough. The fact that there are stories at all is a testament of my love. The fact that there are records and pages to read those stories, the fact that I inspired the writers to write, that I preserved those writings, that you have eyes to read them in any fashion, are all testimonies of my love. Even the difficult passages contain within them an underlying story of my love. Every correction, every rebuke, every judgment declares my glory, which is my pure love. Do you know that pure love is my glory? Do you know that my glory is pure love? They are not separate. They cannot be separated. To see my glory is to see my love. To see my love is to see my glory. My heavenly beings look into my glory, and what they behold is my pure love. Can you understand what I am saying to you, my people? I am pure love, and my glory is the outshining of pure love. You cannot have the warmth and beauty of the sun without the fire and light. They are all one. For any part to be missing would mean it would cease to exist. My pure love and my glory are also one. It is impossible for one to exist without the other. Many seek my glory these days. They want to experience the touch of my glory.